Doctor Radio. Doctor Radio. What you need to know now. Now.
The relationship between obesity and diabetes is really on the same magnitude as smoking and lung cancer. Obesity is really the main risk factor. One of the difficulties is if you don't see a physician or you don't have health care, there are pockets of people who are not getting screened for diabetes. And then we can see higher rates of diabetes in people who are just not getting adequate medical care.
Doctor Radio, because it matters where you get your health information.
Unprecedented in access to top physicians and the location within the NYU Langone Medical Center. This is Doctor Radio.
You're listening to Nutrition and Health on SiriusXM Doctor Radio.
Welcome back to Samantha Heller's Health and Nutrition Show right here on SiriusXM 110 Doctor Radio. We are in the heart of NYU Langone Health in New York City, and I hope you are having a great day. I am registered dietitian Samantha Heller, and I'm very excited right now because I have a friend and a wonderful expert joining us. She's been on my show many, many times, and I so appreciate her expertise, and she's going to help us figure out how to springify our homes in ways that are healthy and safe for us and our family and our pets and the surrounding creatures outside. I want to welcome Caroline Blazofsky. She is America's healthy home expert. She has been helping homeowners, physicians, building owners, organizations diagnose potential problems lurking in homes and offices that can affect your health that you don't even know about. And Caroline is the expert for that. She wants to help people who want to environmentally improve their living space. And you can check out her website, healthyhomeexpert.com. Caroline, welcome to Dr. Radio.
Hi, hi. How are you?
I'm so glad you're here. Yay.
I look forward to coming and talking to you.
So the first thing I want to talk about today is your Healthy Home Summit that is coming up in a few weeks. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, everyone. If you are interested in health and wellness, this is for you. It is called the My Healthy Home Summit. You can just Google it or research it, social media, anything. Type in My Healthy Home Summit. It's 7 days. It starts Earth Week, which is April 22nd, and it will run through April 28th. And we're going to have 7 speakers a day, roughly, talking about all kinds of topics pertaining to your health, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, mental health, how your home affects you, mold, mycotoxins, allergens, how to clean your home properly, how to find out what toxins are in your home, how to find out if your home is built well. So it's a full comprehensive Healthy Home Summit, just about creating these spaces and improving health. And it's free. Samantha, that's the best part. It's free.
It's free. And I'm in it.
Yes, you are.
And I'm in it. Caroline very kindly asked me to come on and interview her because she has been interviewing all the other experts for this summit. So I'm excited for it. And I think it's going to be, you know, you're excited. You've been talking about what an amazing wealth of resources it will be offering people who want to attend. Can you just give us the website again?
Sure. Well, you can just type in, you can either go to healthmeans, so it's healthmeans.com, or you can just type in My Healthy Home Summit, and it will pop right up, and then you can just register. It's free, and you can win. You know what's so cool? We set up where just to register, you can win to get your home tested for your air quality. You can win free water testing. You can win purifiers, all kinds of circadian lighting. You can win personal care products, free products. Actually, Suzanne Summer's whole team donated this wonderful gift basket of like $550 worth of free gifts just for registering. And it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing.
I'm going to register. I want a gift.
I do too. I wish I could.
But it is, I mean, you have experts talking about so many ways, so many things we need to be aware of in terms of having a healthy home, and, you know, researchers and experts from, you know, all over the country. So, folks, if you're interested in doing that, Healthy Home Expert, just summit, Healthy Home Summit?
My Healthy Home
My
Summit.
Healthy Home Summit. See if I can't remember it. My Healthy Home Summit. My Healthy Home Summit. Check it out. It's free, and you can see who's going to be on and what you might be interested in. So thank you, Caroline, for sharing that information with us. I am excited about it. So spring is here, and some of us have the outside creatures waking up and coming inside to say hello. So what do we do about that?
Well, we were talking before we came on a little bit, and you've got ants, little sugar ants, which are completely harmless. Just so people don't freak out. They're not carpenter ants. They're
they
just
don't sting.
A little
sugar. They don't bite.
No. And I have really, from doing the summit, actually, I've gotten in contact with some amazing experts that I've worked with over the years. But if you go to beyondpesticides.org, they actually have a whole website now where you can type in your problem and then it will give you a solution. So a non-toxic solution to dealing with those types of pests, because we don't want to be using pesticides, herbicides. We know how toxic it is.
Yeah, it's concerning. And I do have them, and they are all over my house, and I don't want anything to suffer. So I am going to check out beyondpesticides.org. But there's other creatures. What other creatures, you know, I mean, this is the Northeast, so ants, I think, are pretty normal. But in other parts of the country, different creatures are waking up and coming in to say hello, right?
Yeah, they are. And so, you know, we worry about hornets, we worry about yellow jackets, and, you know, they can really do a lot of damage. And carpenter ants as well. I mean, when you start to get yellow jackets in your home, they literally can eat through a wall. So a lot of these things, like, yeah, you worry about the impact of getting stung, but the damage they can do to your structure is important. So what keeps them away? Well, first off, if you have moisture water problems in your home, that is going to contribute to bugs and pests. And so what do I mean? It means that we need to be looking at relative humidity and also looking to see if you do have any leaks or any water intrusion coming into that building structure. So that's the first thing to do, is dry up everything and get rid of that. And you might notice, too, with the sugar ants, not so much. They really are drawn to any, like, microscopic food they will smell and just kind of come in. But making sure your relative humidity is staying between 30 and 50%, getting yourself a hygrometer, just going down to the local hardware store and saying, hey, I need a hygrometer, picking one up. Don't spend a lot of money. $15 is perfect. And get yourself something to monitor your moisture all the time.
That's a great idea. And that's true for any part of the country, because we have talked about that before. I'm like, what if you're living in a desert, you know, in a more arid, and you're said, no, it doesn't matter. Even if you're like in Arizona or parts of Texas where it's not humid, or, you know, someplace in the desert Southwest, we still have to be aware of that.
Oh, humidity and moisture control problems are everywhere. So even in Southern California, you know, we have hot temperature meeting, that's where you have an issue. So you have cold space, air conditioning meeting hot airspace, it's going to condense, you're going to hit dew point, and you're going to get condensation. Like, think about when you put a cold glass out in a hot day, what happens to the outside of that glass, right? It gets all condensation that happens. That's what happens in our homes. And you just don't see it. It's not as obvious. And so all that moisture goes into all your building products, it goes into your flooring, and then the bugs come and say, hey, I've got water here, I can live.
Oh, these bugs. I should write a song about the bugs. You know, I'm thinking about the Healthy Home Summit, and you have so many amazing guests on there that you interviewed, and you said you even learned a lot, and you're my healthy home expert, so you know a lot. What were some of the more surprising things that you learned or discovered, or, you know, supported things you already knew as you pulled together this whole My Healthy Home Summit?
Yeah, so we looked at... I really wanted to get the change makers in the industry. 42. We started with 1,000, then we worked our way to 250, and then we picked 42 of the most leading experts in the country and game changers, people really changing the space in lots of different things like technology, how you build, building science, healthcare. And so some of the really interesting tie-ins were, we got a doctor, there's lots of doctors and medical professionals there, but Dr. Dale Bredesen, who is one of the leading authorities on Alzheimer's disease, and I had a really candid conversation in the summit, and it's really about the correlation between our homes and this disease and how it is, and they're coming to find that mold and mycotoxins and things of this nature that are in our homes every day, going back to water, right? We're talking about water intrusion, why it's bad. Water makes mold. Mold makes mycotoxins, and mycotoxins in mold contribute to this amyloid plaque being built in the brain. And so it was really fascinating to see these disease states and how our homes impact how sick we can get.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I don't think we ever think that our home is affecting our health, but you have been so vocal about that, and you have seen so many instances of changing something in someone's home, fixing the mold, yes, or the dust or the air quality that has literally changed people's lives. It's so amazing.
It's really, and you know, when you're talking about things like cancer, when you start to look at homes, there are so many carcinogens. I mean, I could name, let's just name five. Let's talk about radon. Let's talk about glyphosate. That, you know, that takes us into the pesticide family. We talk about mycotoxins, talk about benzene. These are VOCs, formaldehyde. I mean, those are five carcinogens right there that are in our homes in abundance, and we're affected by them every day. So if you have these serious illnesses, you really need to evaluate your home and look at it.
You know, I'm thinking about the balance of nature in our world. And we live in parts of this country in very concentrated circumstances. We live in apartment buildings. We live in cities. We live in towns where our houses might be close together. I'm thinking particularly, I'll use my house as an example. My neighbors use pesticides on their lawn. I don't use any pesticides on my lawn, nothing in my garden, no fungicides, none of that. But what's happening in there is going to run into my yard. I mean, can't that have something to do, for example, with the ant infestation I had in my house this year? And last year it lasted for like 8 months. I mean, it just did not stop. It's not just it's March and they're coming in. What my neighbors are doing are affecting my house and my life and the creatures in my yard. I don't care if I have crabgrass and dandelions.
Right. And I don't either. But the other thing, the other flip side to that is that you can have a beautiful lawn, I do, and not use all of these toxic herbicides and pesticides. And the interesting thing is when I'm evaluating homes, and I have for many years, you know, I've been evaluating homes for 24 years, I was able to uncover, and we won't name brands because we don't do that, but we were able to find pesticides in people's ductwork. That's your HVAC, what heats and cools your home, from neighbors next door using a product. So my client wasn't using it, but it was coming over from a neighbor. And if you magnify that out, everything that we do and put on our lawn does just not remain in our little nest egg. It goes out into the world, it goes into the ground, it goes into the grass, and it affects in the water supply and affects all of us. And that's where the whole idea of we are a community, you know, we kind of have to get out of that mindset where we're looking just in our own little silo, that we affect everyone. But I think when you do something individually to make it better for yourself and your family, it trickles down to everybody else, which is nice, right? So we try to get people to kind of get on board with their own personal health, because if you're going to be healthy and you're going to avoid disease, live longer, look better, anti-aging, all of that, like those things that, you know, maybe aren't ideally more important than the environment as a whole, but we can kind of get you in to realize it's going to make you better, then we make the planet better at the same time. And that's why this summit's happening at Earth Week, because it's all about us working together.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to us here at SiriusXM 110 Doctor Radio. I am speaking with America's healthy home expert, my healthy home expert, Caroline Blazovsky. We're talking about how to have a healthy home. It is spring throughout the country, wherever you are. It is springtime. There's more light in the day. The heat, the atmosphere is heating up in most places and will continue to do that because it's early spring. If you have questions or issues about your home, about mold, about water, about your garden, about weeds, give us a call. Caroline has the answers. 1-877-NYU-DOCS. That's 877-698-3627. And you can email us at docs@siriusxm.com. You'd think I'd know this by heart, and yet I still have to read it after doing this for so many years. It's so silly. What are some of the more common issues, moisture in the springtime, certainly year-round in certain parts of the country, but what are some of the springtime-specific or more springtime-specific things we need to be thinking about this time of year?
Well, I always like to mention making sure that if you're going to be opening your windows, that you clean your screens. And that's it's really good time to do windows. It's kind of obvious, but that screen becomes so filthy with particulate pollution, all of the petroleum products from the cars and buses and everything that goes by. So it's real important. If you're going to be letting air in, you want it to be clean air. So make sure you take those screens off. I use a little you can use a little soap and water and just run some paper towel down the inside of the screen, and you're going to see all this black sludgy particulate come off of there. So it's really important to do that when you're starting to let fresh air in.
You do it just with a paper towel and water? Do I need to use any kind of product on it?
No, just a mild. You can use a mild surfactant, which is a little bit of soap. I usually recommend an unscented dish soap, and just sort of, you know, use a warm rag and wipe those screens down, and you're going to really notice all this gunk that comes off onto the onto your paper towels, and that's you're removing that. So as your air comes through the window, it is nice and clean, and you don't have all of that extra particulate.
I'm looking at my screens right now thinking, oh my God, it's going to take me forever to clean them all. But, you know, and I think people think that, but every time I talk to you, and I generally use my experience as an example, because I don't think I'm all that different from anybody else. I think a lot of people, you know, have this. I think we have similar thoughts, like, wow, that's going to take a lot of time. But, you know, if you get people to help you, it doesn't really take that long. And it's a really great idea, and it's a really good thing to do. Just clean your screens. Can you, if you have your windows closed, can you rinse them just with a hose from outside? Or is it better to use a surfactant?
Yeah, you're better. You don't really want to spray. And that brings up a good point. When people are into power washing, this is the time of year when everyone decides, hey, I'm going to power wash my house, my windows. It is really not the best thing to do to shoot a power washer at your building envelope. You don't want water. I mean, if you think about it, right, houses are usually typically built with overhangs, things to protect that building envelope. Every time I drive down the road and I see this time of year, I see someone shooting a power washer right at your building envelope. You can get water underneath that. If it's not sealed properly, you can get mold back behind your wall or in your plywood. So I don't like to do that. You always want to kind of be very gentle with the outside of your home. Don't go spraying like full on powerful power washer at it. So yeah, trying to wipe down the windows and clean them manually is usually a lot better than just spraying, you know, direct water at the source.
And yet, you know, there's a lot of companies that say, hey, we'll come and power wash your house for you. So that's we're saying that's not a good idea, right?
Right. If you're going to do it, you've got to be careful, and you can't go with somebody who's really like full bore blowing this trigger right at the side of your house with water. It's just really bad for your building envelope. So be cognizant of that. You know, I try to kind of wipe down. Obviously, parts of the house will get a little funky. But remember, if you're starting to see a lot of moss growing on your house, which is always a big thing at this time of year, you usually have a water damage problem behind your home. So mold and algae and things like that don't really want to grow on the side of your house. But when you have a damp, something behind it that's damp, like a leak, or you've got water infiltration getting back behind your siding, you'll start to see this moss growing. So that's a real indicator. Like, go around your house, look outside, look around. And if you start to see areas where you've got a lot of accumulation of that, you may want to get a building professional out to check it out, because you probably have a leak back there that you didn't know about.
Here's something I don't know that I ever would have thought to ask in my life. I grew up in a regular shingled house. But the house I moved into now has siding on it, which I never would have done. Are you supposed to replace the siding every X number of years?
So you have vinyl siding?
Oh, I think it's aluminum.
So aluminum will hold up longer because it's obviously metal. Vinyl can start to give way. I mean, typically it's something that you want to look at. I mean,
it's a little
long
cheesy
lifespan.
Honestly, it's a little cheesy, but it's okay. I mean, it's my house, so what am I going to do?
Well, that's what people went to sidings, you know, because they were supposedly more maintenance friendly. But you know, when you go with vinyl and things like that, they don't breathe as well, right, than the old wood. Like I happen to have wood shingles on my house and I wouldn't replace it because I like breathability and I like things to dry out. When you get plastic siding, if you get any water, which is what I'm talking about, spraying that plastic siding, if you get water up underneath the backside of it and it can't dry out, you can get mold.
Right.
So when you have vinyl siding, you have to be a little bit more cautious with it because it's, you know, it is more prone to mold growth behind it.
Interesting. I'm asking
know.
You all my own questions, and I'm just assuming if I have the question, other people do too. We have Maddie giving us a call from New York. Maddie, thanks so much for calling and asking your question, because you're probably tired of my household problems. What can we do for you today?
Okay. No, I mean, I'm very sensitive to chemicals, and I always have been. So I have two dogs, and I don't like to use any kind of pesticides on my lawn, and I have a large property, so I mean, I do see that there's a lot of weeds, you know, kind of in the crabgrass growing, but the one thing that they want to use is fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something they said it's totally safe? I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of it is synthetic. And what happens with a lot of these products is built into them is like a petroleum base to it so that it adheres, right? Because otherwise you just put this stuff down on your lawn and then 2 minutes later it's blowing down the street. So what happens is they end up putting a lot of synthetic compounds in there that are carcinogenic and can be toxic to animals and to people. So usually what I recommend for lawns especially is that if you're going to have what I call an organic lawn, try reseeding more regularly. And also make sure, like, if you get leaves and things that fall off the trees, a lot of people tend to push them to the curb and then there'll be a truck that comes around and picks up their leaves for them. But you want to actually chop them up and use them as fertilizer. So, you know, get out there and actually chop up the leaves, use it as fertilizer at the end of, you know, the fall season. And then make sure you're reseeding frequently because you want the grass to overtake the weeds, which is very helpful. We just don't reseed our grass enough. So I've had a lot of success doing it with my own yard because I don't like to use the synthetic compounds. And I do have a well, so I'm very conscious about that.
Well, I don't really do stuff. And I mean, I'm not really out there on the lawn much. I mean, I go outside, but I have, like, bad, like, allergies and stuff, so I don't do so well with, like,
grass.
Trees and grass and flowers. I have a hard time.
So you need a HEPA.
Around.
You need to make sure you're using a purifier. Make sure at this time of year, if you are sensitive, keep your windows closed. But make sure you're using some type of purification device. Obviously, HEPA filtration works great, but make sure you're using something to help take that pollen out. And make sure if you go out that when you come back into the home that you do shower. So usually I like to recommend to people shower at the end of the day versus the beginning. So when you get all that stuff on you, you're not going to bed in it and you're laying on your pillow and then it goes into your pillow and your sheets and your bedding. So you're keeping all that pollen out because it can be really challenging for people with pollen allergies this time of year.
Yeah, good point. All right, Maddie, I hope that's helpful. It was a great question. Thank you so much for calling and listening to us here at Dr. Radio. And I hope your spring is tolerable and you manage it well with very few allergy effects. We have Lisa from Springfield, Missouri, giving us a call. Lisa, welcome to Dr. Radio. What can we do for you today?
Hi, thank you so much. Yes, I'm so happy to hear you talking about this subject because I have this kind of mystery that seems to happen every year in my house around the springtime and then again in the fall where there's this smell that permeates my house. It's almost a 100-year-old house, lots of mature trees around and everything. It's not super well insulated, so there's like air blowing all the time. But the smell is almost like an oniony smell that happens, and I just can't figure out where it's coming from, and I think it must be mold. And now I've developed a bunch of different like allergies that I never had before, to where I'm like histamine intolerant and stuff. So I just wondered if you had any thoughts about what that could
I do
and how I might help it.
I do.
I might try to fix it. Thank you.
Yeah, when you go into the springtime, we get more humidity and the ground changes. We have pressurization that happens all the time and we start kind of taking moisture up from the ground. We get a lot more humidity, and that block, that foundation, you know, your basement areas become damp, and we start to smell these things like mold, must. You can smell cigarettes. You can smell all kinds of volatile organics. So that it's very common that this happens. You should get your house checked, have a mold test done. It's not that expensive. You take some air samples in that basement just to make sure that you don't have mold. The oniony smell kind of, I don't know that it's necessarily mold based on which how you're describing it, but people do smell things vastly different than other people. So sometimes what smells sweet to someone might smell more tangy to somebody else. So I think get it checked for mold. The other thing that you could, in an old house like that, you do have to worry about pesticide exposures. There were a lot of things they used back in the day, like chlordane and also heplochlor, which were these old time pesticides. And I've worked on many houses that were older that actually had exposures that would come up from through the ground. They just used them. It permeated the block. And now when the house, you know, just goes into those seasons, it basically kind of permeates up and you smell it. So that's another thing you could have checked with an environmental consultant to see if you have any types of old pesticide exposure there.
If she does, then what do you do about it?
There's ways you can vapor. You basically do vapor protection. So it's a big process to do, but I've worked on homes that have it. But you can basically sort of quarantine that to the ground so it doesn't come up through the house, through the structure. And we do it a lot with mold. You can actually contain areas and make sure that you're not getting moisture coming up. But it is an issue, especially in older homes. They did use a lot of it back in the day, and it can come up from the ground and the foundation around you.
That's so interesting. And it's so interesting, Lisa, that you smell it every spring and fall. This was like the perfect person to talk to.
Yeah.
Caroline, where can Lisa go to find someone to come and look at her home?
Wherever she's located. I mean, she can call us at healthyhomeexpert.com, and we can put her in contact with the right people and the right pesticide testing to be done. And she should definitely look into it. Do a mold test first, make sure it's not mold, and then you can start to look into bigger things. But obviously something's bothering her because she's having immune effects.
Yeah. Lisa, does that answer your question or give you some guidance?
It really does, and I really never thought about the antiquity part of the pesticides and such, and I'm totally all organic in my gardening and all that stuff. And but I know the person I bought it from about 20 years ago, he had all kinds of things out in the shed that I had to dispose of. So that's, interesting. So yes, I would like to find out how to get the mold testing and then see and go from there. So appreciate that information so very much.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Thanks for calling and listening to us here at Dr. Radio. And, you know, Caroline, she brings up another really good point, which is this is the time of year people do a spring cleaning and they find things in their garage, or they might move someplace the way she did and in a shed where they have, you know, these containers of pesticides or paint thinner or old cans of paint, or like, how do we get rid of them? I know in my town, they have a one day you can get rid of that kind of thing. But if you miss that window, then what do you do for the rest of the year?
It is. It's challenging. And that's what I look for, is when they have the community where you can bring them. I also recommend to people put sand or some sort of absorbent if you have a can, like an old can of paint or something like that. So it'll absorb it and cure up. So it's not going to be outgassing. Because if you just keep wet products that are not hermetically sealed, they continue to outgas into the space. So the more you can put something like sand, saw, kitty litter works great too, into that can, it'll dry up the paint. It'll stop it from outgassing. That also helps too.
Yeah, I'd had another me story, because it should always be about me. When I moved into my house, of course, I was going to paint, you know, and I had all different small cans of paint samples of colors. But I filled them all with kitty litter. To do exactly what you said, because I didn't know how to dispose of them in a way that was not deleterious to the environment. I used up a lot of kitty litter doing that. We have Lynn from Georgia giving us a call. Lynn, welcome to Dr. Radio.
Thank you. I have a question. I mean, I'm really ignorant to this stuff. I went into the basement and opened one of the closets and found mold. What do we do about that? Do we try to remove it ourselves? Do we call somebody? Is there something you can do yourself?
You know, that's a really good question. I think we look in different places in our homes and see mold, and we just kind of wipe it off. And then is that enough?
I think it depends on your square footage. So when you start to get over like 10 square feet, then you start to have to say, okay, I should bring a professional in. In that case, I would have it tested just to see what kind it is, because there are molds that are more toxic than others. Like you hear about the stachybotryses and the molds that produce a mycotoxin. So not all molds are the same, and not all molds have the same ability. Some of them have more ability to make us sicker than others. So you want to find out what kind it is, and then you can, you know, either you can deal with it with a contractor, or you could deal with it yourself if you use, you know, depending on how big the area is and what kind it is. Put yourself in a Tyvek suit, put a mask on, and you can clean it out. If it's something that you can just get rid of, you know, if it's embedded into the drywall and things like that, then you probably need a contractor. Or if it's really bad, then you can hire a mold remediator. But any of the options, first, just get it tested and find out what it is and how much you have.
So she should go to myhealthyhomeexpert.com.
MyHealthyHome.com.
And you can help direct her to finding an expert in her area to talk to tell her what she needs to do about the mold. Is that right?
Yeah, we test in all 50 states. So if people have kind of mold issue, yeah, they can just call us. We can actually send you out something to test. We have home test kits. We have all kinds of testing abilities to test for everything. So, and sometimes you don't need that, or sometimes we'll recommend someone in your area. But she should definitely, I mean, if she's seen growth, like that's the thing. When you see growth, you've got thousands and thousands of colonies. Like mold is there in abundance when you have that growth that you're actually seeing. That little spot is made up of, you know, many, many, many mold spores.
Lynn, does that answer your question, give you some guidance as to where to go for help?
Yes, sort of. The basement is concrete cinder block.
Good.
So it's all over the, it's over everything, and I just.
Yeah, so you need a mold remediator. At that point, you have. Usually mold doesn't grow on concrete, right? It needs a food source. It can grow on paint on concrete. But your humidity has been out of control in that basement for a long time. You haven't been monitoring your relative humidity or using what we call a dehumidifier. So that moisture came off that block. Remember I said cold glass out in a hot day? That block's been sweating. Yeah. And so that mold just was feeding on all that water. So you need a professional. I'd call, go to acac.org and you can look up, you can put in your zip code and they'll put professionals in your area, get a certified mold remediator and a certified indoor environmentalist to come out and do some sampling for you and get down the road.
Yeah. So Lynn, go to acac.org to get this process started. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for calling and listening to us here at Dr. Radio. I have to take a short break, and I'm so happy that Caroline is going to stick with me for the rest of the show. Callers, would you please stay on hold through the break? This is our combo break, and I promise we will get to your calls as soon as we come back from the break, because you're going to have so much fun during the break anyway. This is our combo break, where we do our cool out chill and our move your fanny. So the first thing we're going to do is sit up nice and straight. See, as soon as I even think of telling you what to do, I do it. I take that deep inhale. Think the words as you do the action. This is my in-breath. And this is my out-breath. And you imagine you're inhaling light. And you're exhaling stress. And you're sitting up nice and straight, letting your body just sort of melt into the present moment. It helps reduce your anxiety. It helps relieve pain. It helps you stay in the moment that you're in right now. It helps you be alert. We think of relaxation as not being alert, but actually when we are relaxed and we're breathing, if we're driving, if we're doing something that needs our focus, we focus better. So do your in-breath, out-breath a few times, and then turn on some fabulous SiriusXM music or Spotify or maybe some Rhiannon Giddens or some of Beyonce's new songs and get those fannies moving. Take a dance break as we take this short break. We will be back with more right here after this short break on Dr. Radio.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah. I don't want to do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah.
Never miss a beat of Dr. Radio with the SiriusXM app.
Dr. Radio.
Simply download it and take our medical experts with you everywhere. Just search Dr. Radio.
Hey, feeling good.
Need a dose of sunshine?
Got that sunshine on my Sunday best.
Or a serotonin boost? Is one of many happy extra channels available on the all-new SiriusXM app. Search Happy Radio to start listening to endless feel-good hits.
Monday on Dr. Radio at 6 a.m. East, Parkinson's Disease Awareness. Dr. Jonathan Weitzen reviews what it is and what can cause this neurodegenerative disorder. Learn about the early signs and the latest advances in treatments to manage the symptoms. At 8 a.m., Dr. Rabia Delator hosts the Internal Medicine Show and discusses GERD, Barrett's, and other esophageal issues. Then at 11 a.m. East, Dr. Thea Gallagher discusses stress, anxiety, and mindfulness. Call with your questions. That's just some of what's happening Monday on SiriusXM Dr. Radio.
From the streets of Hoboken to the Vegas Strip, Frank Sinatra's music all in one place. Perfectly Frank. Nothing but Sinatra.
You make me feel so young.
I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow.
Perfectly Frank. All part of over 200 online music channels in the SiriusXM app. Included with all trials and popular plans.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Celebrate the spirit of Easter on SiriusXM. Hear Masses throughout the week on the Catholic Channel, including Easter Mass from Rome with His Holiness Pope Francis. Embrace the promise of hope on Joel Osteen Radio.
You are full of resurrection power.
And experience Easter from Israel on the Billy Graham Channel,
where Jesus walked and talked.
Plus, exclusive interviews, performances, and music for the occasion on the all-new SiriusXM app. Just search Christian.
Dr. Radio. Dr. Radio. What you need to know now.
RSV is a very severe problem for very premature infants. Having a vaccine for mothers during pregnancy may boost the antibody production so that a baby born premature would be more protected against severe infection with RSV and help children who will eventually develop asthma.
Dr. Radio, because it matters where you get your health information.
Direct from the lobby of the NYU Langone Medical Center, this is Dr. Radio.
Just whistle while you work. And cheerfully together we can light up the flame. So I'm a merry.
You all know what this is from, right? Even if it was long before your time, like it was mine, this is from one of the very first, I think the very first animated film ever made by Disney, Snow White. And there she is, whistling while she works, playing with all of her lovely little creatures, her birds and her mice, who are coming up and saying hello and tweeting around her in the garden. So welcome back. And that's what we're talking about, is tweeting around ourselves, dealing with spring, to Samantha Heller's Health and Nutrition Show here on SiriusXM 110 Dr. Radio. We are in partnership with NYU Langone Health in New York City. And I am here with my friend and colleague, Caroline Blazovsky. She is America's Healthy Home Expert. She's my healthy home expert. You can go to her website, healthyhomeexpert.com. You can check her out on Twitter and Instagram, Healthy Home Exp, EXP for Twitter, and Healthy Home Expert at Instagram. And check out My Healthy Home Summit. You can Google that or go to My Healthy Home Summit at Health Means, M-E-A-N-S, to learn more about the Earth Week Summit that Caroline created with 42 experts from all walks of life, helping us have a healthier living environment. So Caroline is with me for the rest of the afternoon. I'm really excited that she's here. But callers, I want to get to you right away since you were kind enough to stay on hold. And I do appreciate your time. We have Lynn from Vermont. Hey, Lynn, welcome to Dr. Radio.
Hi. I'm not sure how well-versed you folks are. I know I am not. But when we all buy new houses, I live in New England, we all have to get our houses checked for radon. And then, you know, they determine if they can ventilate the home, and then everything's tested and fine. But no one really talks about keeping up with this or recheck. Do people recheck, and how would you know what a good rule of thumb should be?
That's a really good question, because I know I had my house tested on when I moved in, but I mean, are we supposed to recheck it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing that she's bringing this up, because I just was on this morning doing a podcast with a radon company. We're talking about radon. Radon is one of those things that you need to continuously monitor. And this means you need a monitor going at all times in your home. Radon is the leading cause of lung cancer. So it's, you know, it's basically second to smoking. And it's the leading cause amongst people who are non-smokers. So it's very important to be checking it all the time. And even if you have a fan or what we call a mitigation system in, there's different parameters in the house. So pressurization changes that can happen when you do your HVAC, or maybe you reside your house or put new windows in, or you start pulling from a slab or a concrete area in your basement or crawl space, that can contribute radon to come up even when you have a mitigation system. And a lot of the times the mitigation system stop working. And believe it or not, it's something that even in my home, I had a mitigation system and I still had high radon. So get a continuous monitor. There's a company I like. They make a monitor. It's called EcoSense. And you can, this is just a little cube. It's about $130 for a monitor. You can stick it in. It just sits in your lowest level of your home, and it'll monitor for you all the time, giving you red, amber, or green lights, so you know what's happening. And it'll do a continuous over time analysis for you, because radon is one of the things. It is. We're finding more and more. I was actually just having a conversation with a gentleman today at a radon company. There is more health implications than just cancer coming up the pipeline for this. So it's really important to monitor.
And doesn't EcoSense check more than just radon, or is it just radon?
Radon, EcoSense just does radon. They've got two. They've got the cube, and then they have another device as well, just for radon. But you need a separate radon device. Every home should have one to keep monitoring. Because if your fan goes out, you might not know. A lot of the mitigation systems are actually installed the wrong way. We see a lot of them not properly installed. I just had a client the other day. She called, and I said, she's like, well, we have mitigation. I said, I want to check it anyway. And sure enough, their radon was above 4 picocuries.
You are very keen on other indoor sensors. And can we just take a quick review of those for a second? And Lynn, thank you so much. I think that's a great question. Yeah. So EcoSense, I'm actually going to get one of those today. I know, Caroline, you and I have been talking before about other indoor monitors that you like.
Yeah. So technology has come a long way. So I would start putting something in so you can start monitoring these things. And then it'll tell you, look, there's a problem. I need to call an environmental consultant. I need to call a healthy home expert and find out what this really means. But you can start monitoring for CO, CO2, your NO2, formaldehyde, VOCs, temperature, relative humidity, particulate 2.5. That's that small particles that we know contribute to inflammation in the body and actually cause disease like Alzheimer's and other serious illnesses. So getting some type of monitoring system, start with a radon monitor. It's great. I mean, a radon monitor is important. You know, if you're on a budget, start with one and see how you like it and let it start reading the data for you. It's so helpful.
Okay. Thank you so much. And Lynn, again, thank you so much for your question. We have Julie from Massachusetts giving us a call. Julie, welcome to Dr. Radio. What can we do for you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I really like the look of bark mulch in my garden, but I know it can be treated with like many questionable ingredients. I'd like to know what your opinion is or recommendations that I could use to make sure it's healthy for my environment.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think mulches are treated with different chemicals. And how do you know what to get and what should we look for, Caroline?
Yeah, ask your contractor for organic mulch. They have it. I use it. The other thing is put a perimeter around your house. So like I have a stone perimeter that goes about, I just want to say 6 feet out. So I don't really want anything right up against the home for lots of reasons. And this goes also with like bushes, shrubbery. The roots can actually get into your foundation and affect your building envelope. If you put mulch too close, it actually becomes a fire hazard because sometimes there's pieces of glass like you're talking about that can actually ignite. We've seen homes actually catch fire because it, you know, it just it gets too dry and the glass ignites some of the mulch and there you go. The other thing is we get this it's this catapulting mold that actually forms inside the mulch, which sprays up onto the house. So I have taught my clients to kind of make a perimeter around the house with some rock. I usually use like a river rock, or you can use like a small pebble to kind of make this bed. So you have this buffer. And then outside of that, you can start your landscape and start, you know, doing things with your bushes, your shrubbing, your mulching. So it's not right up against the foundation. And it's the same with trees. Any kind of shrubs, you don't want that stuff really up against your building envelope because it can crack your foundation. It actually pulls heat out of the house, so it can affect energy costs and all kinds of things. So not having those growing items too close to the house.
Julie, does that answer your question?
Very much. Very clear. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
We have Betty from Kentucky. Hey, Betty, welcome to Dr. Radio.
Well, thank you for taking my call. So I have a history of having lung cancer, which was removed about 5 years ago. And I continuously get 6 month follow-up CTs. And my last CT, it showed that I had some spots there, but they didn't think it was cancer. They thought it was more infectious. And my physician was querying me whether there was something that I was getting exposed to in my home. And I have no idea what that possibly could be or where I needed to focus. I heard some of your environmental controls while I was on hold. I didn't know if there was anything that you think I should like hone in on that could be causing this issue.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so first off, it's something serious. Like anytime you have lung cancer, you want to evaluate your home environment because there's so many things that can contribute. Radon, like we just talked about, get a radon monitor. The second thing, and I've worked with a lot of clients who develop sort of fungal infections in the lungs. They've also developed strange bacteria, mycoplasm, different things that end up in the lung that they find and the doctors don't know where it's coming from. So septic gas is a really big thing that you want to check and make sure you don't have any septic leaks. And this can be done with a monitor, like we were talking about, Samantha's talking about putting in a monitor to kind of monitor for some of these gases that come off septic gas or sewer gas, because you can get a really small leak and there's all kinds of microbials that kind of can come up out of there that can affect you. And then definitely doing mold testing, make sure that you don't have any mold in there would be really good too. And then putting a generalized monitor system in. I mean, for $299, you can put a good monitor in with, I would, for you, it's going to be a lifesaver, a game changer. So I would definitely do that. And we'd be happy to work with you. So you could always call us and we'll get you set up. It's really easy.
Betty, so you can go to healthyhomeexpert.com and contact Caroline through her website. And they can, she can give you more specific guidance of what you need to do. Okay.
Okay. I just, on the septic leak, sometimes like in my bathroom, I can sometimes, it seems like maybe I'm smelling septic coming up from my sink. Do you think that could?
Sure, that could definitely be causing it. You can, or sometimes what happens in sinks, and men are kind of guilty of this, they shave a lot. And so you get this gunk that kind of gets in your trap and goes all the way down and out. So have a plumber come take that apart, because that could be what you're smelling too. And you'll get this real nasty smell. And it's sort of like old soap scum and mold and all these things that come off all the stuff we do in the sink, you know, in our bathrooms. So get that all cleaned out, make sure that's good. And then also have them check for a septic leak there too. You can do it with a monitor or somebody can come out and check it. But for sure, definitely get that looked at, because that'll grow microbial stuff in there that could, you know, very well not be good for you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Betty, thank you so much for calling and for listening to us here at Dr. Radio. Yeah, I think being a plumber, I think they must come across so many like icky things. We were talking, Caroline, during the break about the effect of light, and I was talking earlier in the show about it's lighter out longer. We're getting sort of excited about being outside, excited about spring coming. And we talk about how light affects our mood so much. And you had mentioned that you had had an expert at the My Healthy Home Summit that will be taking place On Earth Week coming up in a few weeks. So if anybody's interested, go to My Healthy Home Summit at Health Means, or you just plug in My Healthy Home Summit and you can see what's on, and it's free. And let's talk about what we can do in terms of light to affect our health.
Now, we interviewed an amazing speaker. His name's Brian Soler, and he was basically he helped to create the circadian rhythm lighting systems on the International Space Station for NASA. And then he went off and with some other experts from NASA created a company called BIOS Lighting. And I was very fortunate to interview him, and we talked about lighting and how, I mean, it basically affects 2/3 of your cellular function. We are light beings. It's not something that we think about. And natural light is so vastly different from this blue light that we're exposed to all the time. And it is so imperative to our health. We interviewed 3 lighting experts, so I don't even want to give it away, but it's interesting to hear what they have to say. But there's all kinds of new technology coming out. So, but get outside and expose yourself to like this light. Your eyes need it. Your eyes actually have a receptor that look for that light of all different facets. Like there's violet, there's green, there's blue, there's reds, and our body needs all of them to function optimally. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you folks, you'll learn more if you go to My Healthy Home Summit and listen to the talk. And Caroline, you know, is the one interviewing these experts, and so because she knows a lot, she knows what to ask. So that's very cool. We have Alex from Virginia giving us a call. Alex, welcome to Dr. Radio.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. So we have a summer cottage, and we were just opening it up. And some mice seemed to have gotten in while we were away. And so we called the exterminator, and, you know, he's scheduled to come and at least seal the holes. But I'm wondering, actually, unfortunately, about mice feces and how to clean that. Because I've heard you're not supposed to use vacuum cleaners because of airborne illness. Or I'm wondering if there are companies that do it for you, or any advice that you might have.
Yeah. So yes and yes. Mice are one of the things, and Samantha doesn't like to kill anything and she loves to be gentle. Mice are one of the things that I worry about for many reasons. They carry hantavirus. They can carry leptospirosis. They can carry their feces actually contributes to mold growth in homes. And they can really do a lot of damage. And the fact is, when you have them, you need to get rid of them. And they breed like crazy. So if you have one, chances are you have 10. And because they carry disease and all the things that they do, I'm not that upset about when you're doing a snap trap to get rid of them. I don't like sticky traps at all. It's because they're inhumane.
What about have a heart trap and you go release them?
You can try, but you're going to be releasing a lot of have a heart traps, and they breed so frequently. I did this very thing. I was putting on a new roof, and there was a mouse that we found, and she had little babies attached to her, and there was no way that I could harm her in any capacity. And I let her be. And it was a mistake in the sense that I ended up with all kinds of issues in that living space with, you know, having a problem with her. And we couldn't move her at the time because she was pregnant. She was nursing. But they do create a lot of problem. You can try peppermint. They do not like it. So use a lot of peppermint oil and put it around. And they usually do leave. So try that first. But if you do have a big infestation, you need to remove them.
But also, as you had said, Alec, to seal up the areas, the holes that they're getting in. But if she has mice poop all over the place, how does she clean that?
Yeah, so she needs to. Well, if she's going to do it, she can tie vac suit. She can put on masks, and they can use a OSHA standard HEPA vacuum with HEPA filtration and a bag, and you can start vacuuming it up and getting rid of it. You can also try spraying it down. So a lot of stuff that becomes airborne happens when it's dry. So you can actually spray some water, or you can spray some hydrogen peroxide on the space, like over the poop, and then clean it up. So always clean up things when it's wet, like wet it down, and that prevents stuff from becoming airborne. And that's the same for a lot of different chemical compounds and things that we interact with. If you spray them down, asbestos is one of the things that they do that a lot with as well, to keep it from becoming airborne.
Sounds kind of gross, but I think the idea of spraying it with some water, hydrogen peroxide, is actually a great idea. So, Alex, I hope that gives you some ideas and resources of things to do. I'm much more a fan of a habitat trap and finding a nice field to release a mouse in or mice in if you find them, as Caroline knows. But to have those holes sealed up and some techniques to clean up the mice poop. Hopefully, we answered your questions. Thank you so much for calling. And Caroline, we've only got about 2 minutes left. Do you have some final springtime thoughts you want to share with our listeners today?
I mean, just that your homes are really key to your health. I mean, I am on the spectrum of being very vigilant about how our environments impact us. You know, I believe 85% of disease states are caused by our home environments and our workplaces. And you really need to start checking into it. If you're not feeling good, if you're having any kind of health issues and you go to the doctor and you get your blood work and get your scans and everybody says, hey, you're okay, look into your home environment to see what could potentially be there and learn about it. Learn how to have a healthier home.
Yeah, I think a lot. We've certainly had many people call into the show and say, you know, I've been to a doctor. No one knows what's wrong with me. And I do say my healthy home expert, Caroline Blazovsky, says now look at the environment. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh,
you were fabulous,
you
as always.
And I thank always you. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you. And thank you for, you know, giving me resources that I am going to use as well. And folks, check out My Healthy Home Summit at Health Means, or just put in My Healthy Home Summit into Google. You'll find out and learn more about that for Earth Week. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, everyone.
Folks, it's the weekend, so get outside, maybe start doing some of the spring cleaning we're talking about today. If you're someplace where it's warm enough, you can start cleaning those screens, vacuuming up the house, cleaning up that basement, seeing if there's any mold. Maybe buy yourself a gift of an eco sensor, eco sense, check out the radon or mold sensors. You know, let's get our homes clean. I'm always motivated after I talk to Caroline so we can have a healthier home space for ourselves and the people around us as well. Take care of yourselves. Be kind and respectful to you, to everyone you encounter. Ramp up that kindness. Flood the world with the light that you're inhaling and exhaling throughout the day. And be kind to all of the creatures on the planet. And we will see you right here on Dr. Radio next time.